It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you grow your e-commerce business faster and more efficiently by cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and guidance from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello, Masterplan World. Welcome to our latest podcast. It's a pleasure to have you listening. We're now well into September, so I hope everyone's got their Christmas plans in hand. Not wanting to scare anybody there, but it is time you should be ready for Christmas. Today's special guest has possibly my favourite e-commerce business name, so let me tell you all about her. Bonnie Chung runs the UK's first dedicated miso brand, and the name? Miso Tasty. Isn't that genius? She spent 3 years researching to make sure her miso soup is the best you can get, and now ships the soup direct to customers in letterbox-friendly boxes, of course. And of course, there's also a subscription offer. She's now into year two and has over 1,000 regular buyers. The fascinating story, great content on the website, and superior content mean that as well as wholesaling to Sainsbury's, Selfridges and Whole Foods markets, Bonnie has built up a great following on social media and consistently superb PR coverage. Hi, Bonnie. I've just given our listeners a very quick overview of you and your business and where you are now. So how did you get started in e-commerce?
Well, as you said, it took me a very long time to get the product perfect for launch. So 3 years later, the product was ready, finally, and then we didn't have any customers. So instead of sort of spending more time going out there, meeting with stores and supermarkets, we thought the best way to launch would be our own store, where we could sell directly to the customers. And so that's where the e-commerce started. We set up a web store and had loaded up all our products on there, and we immediately started selling miso directly to customers, and that was a great way for us to start learning about the business.
So when you started all that research, your intention mm-hmm. wasn't to go e-commerce, it was to create a great miso soup. And then
exactly
so it's kind of like yeah. How are we going to get to the customers?
Exactly. And this is the quickest, best way to get to the customers, we realised. And it sort of the fact that we didn't have any supermarket or retail customers yet was actually a blessing in disguise, because it meant that we really focused our energy in developing a sort of customer shopping experience that we could design ourselves. So, for example, customers who buy from us directly, they get sort of the VIP treatment. We have handwritten thank you notes inside every box. We send them merchandise and give you special offers, and really allowed us to develop a very close relationship with our miso lover customers. And it gave us sort of that platform to be out there on the market without having to wait for a particular deal to go through with a retailer.
So just to delve into kind of that wholesale versus retail element, mm-hmm. do you find it fairly straightforward to balance the needs of the wholesale business, so selling to Sainsbury's, Selfridges, etc., and dealing with your customers direct? Are there any particular challenges with that or benefits?
Challenges would be you just have to be really sort of careful about how you do your marketing when you're supporting the retail customer. So, for example, when we do tastings and marketing for Selfridges, Half Nickels, all our favourite customers on the ground, we have to push the sale to go through the store. You know, we want them to buy them from the store, and we're very sensitive about not pushing the online availability so much in respect to to respect our customer on the ground, to the retailers. And then when we are doing our marketing for our online business, we really encourage and highlight the benefits of buying from us directly. So we just have to be sensitive to our retail customers, who are so important to us, that when we're focusing on marketing for them, we only focus on them. So I suppose that's the sort of the challenge, just to be careful about sort of respecting their sales requirements from us, but the benefits is great is that they support each other. So our online customers, we know after a while they might want, they might start switching to buying from the supermarket because it's part of their grocery shop and that's easier for them. So we see sort of customers coming from both directions. So online customers going to supermarkets. A supermarket customer or a retail customer might then prefer to have it delivered to their office. So they actually then go from trying it out in a retailer and then switching to becoming an online customer because it's more convenient. So we see that both channels support each other. So overall, it's definitely a benefit having both.
So do you in part see that wholesale channel not just as a turnover and profit source, but also as a marketing resource for the whole business?
Absolutely. Yeah. And certainly in these early stages, it's sort of the brand presence in store and being around the country, that having that presence, having your brand out there is a massive benefit to our business from a marketing perspective.
Cool. Well, I know we're going to come on to kind of brand and marketing and PR a bit later on. But in the meantime, let's get a few of the details of the business laid out for everybody.
Okay.
So you're based in the UK, aren't you? Where
yes.
do you sell to around the world?
We offer global shipping through our website. So we do ship everywhere, which is brilliant because it allows us to really push our social media reach globally and still be able to offer the product to customers who are connected with us. But predominantly our customers are around the UK, all corners of the UK. We ship them from our office. We're based in Hackney, in East London. We sell our product. We're happy to send our product everywhere.
Cool. And what mm-hmm. platform are you on? What's your website?
Shopify.
And how come you decided to go with Shopify?
Well, we did a bit of research, and to be honest, everyone told us that was the the best one for our sort of size of business, and also when we're looking at sort of other websites that are built on Shopify, we like the look of them. We thought sort of aesthetically they were great, so we thought it would probably be the best one for us, and we've been happy with them since.
Cool. And are there any kind of widgets or plugins you've got bolted in, so reviews, merchandising, that kind of thing?
Not so much. I think we haven't explored that enough yet, but it's definitely something we'll be doing soon.
Cool. And what does your team look like? How many of you are there?
Apart from myself, there are three others in the office. So, which is great because when I was starting out, it was just myself on my own working sort of from my bedroom, and now having an office full of other team members, it's absolutely brilliant. We've grown quite quickly over the last year and a half.
Cool. And are they focused on production, wholesale, marketing? What's the breakdown?
To be honest, they all have sort of areas of responsibility, so that covers of sales, marketing, logistics, new products. But as a startup, everyone sort of mucks in with everything generally. especially when sort of there's an emergency, then everyone sort of piles onto the problem. So everyone's quite multi-skilled in the team, which is brilliant.
It is. When you're moving in such a fast paced area, you've got to mm-hmm. have that adaptability, really, haven't you?
So absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. So, Bonnie, what would you say right now is the most awesome thing about Miso Tasty?
I think the momentum that we've developed in the retail space has actually really elevated the brand. So we've just launched in Waitrose this week. We're already in Sainsbury's, Ocado, Selfridges, Whole Foods, you know, so many stores, Harvey Nichols. So being out there nationally and having all that coverage has actually really increased our brand awareness, and therefore it's really triggered a lot more online sales from new customers. So our new customer, proportion of customers buying from our website who are new to us has increased quite a lot since our supermarkets and retail listings has increased. So at the moment, we're just growing very quickly, and just seeing the number of new customers coming to us is really encouraging.
Excellent. And those new customers, I'm always intrigued by the subscription model in e-commerce, because I think it's one of the most exciting things opportunities out there if you've got the right product. And yeah. Obviously, you know, your product quite neatly fits into the subscription model. Do you mm-hmm. find you get mainly subscription customers? Are they mainly one-off product customers? Or do people migrate between the two?
We find that there is a bit of a journey that the customer goes on. We get, you know, a bunch of customers, probably the largest proportion of customers who come to our website and try a box, and you know they enjoy it, and then sometimes they go quiet for a while. So you know we send out newsletters to remind them and try and get them back. But generally, they once they've bought once or twice, they quickly become regular customers. They're buying frequently, maybe every month they're purchasing from us, and then the final stage of their journey is that they become subscribers. So this is when they automatically get two boxes of miso a month sent to their home or office, and so you get sort of different groups of customers sort of on this journey, and hopefully we can get them all onto subscription.
But it's great, isn't it, the way in which you can track that from they're testing us, okay, they're now regular.
Exactly. And yeah, it's a real journey, because we start off with we have these taster packs as well, which is only one portion. We can often track customers. They'll try the one portion, which is, you know, only £2, so it's sort of they try at a low risk to them. Everything's free delivery, so it still seems quite affordable. They try that, and then we see them go on to our boxes of eight, and then we see them buying a couple of boxes of eight, and then they go into our subscription. So it's really great that we can track all of that, and we can incentivize customers to sort of move up on that journey as well.
And what platform do you use to manage that emailing and the incentivization and getting the right message to the right person at the right time?
MailChimp. We use MailChimp the most, I think. We a little bit we're able to sort of download quite a lot of interesting and helpful customer data from Shopify, and then map that to MailChimp so that we can sort of do targeted campaigns to customers shopping a certain way.
Oh, cool. And just going back a step, you have an e-commerce product that costs £2 that you do free P&P on. Mm-hmm. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's one taster pack. Yeah, exactly. We think that especially with a product like miso, it's in the UK, it's still quite a new ingredient. It's a new miso soup is still fairly new, and we want to take a lot of the sort of the scariness out of it, trying something new by making a really affordable taster pack that that someone can try kind of for fun, and then if they like it, then they can go on to the eight box, which is our sort of most popular format, and that's the one that fits through the letterbox, and all our products fit for the letterbox, so that it's really easy for them. So we try and take all the sort of hassle out of it by having a really sort of affordable entry-level product.
I think that's such a good way of getting a customer in, you know, make that barrier to entry as low as possible, so as they
exactly.
can, you know,
yeah.
get to understand you and the product.
Absolutely, yeah. Because there are, you know, I see other sort of e-commerce businesses out there that do, that I think try and push the subscription too soon. I think you have to really be patient with customers, you know, give them a try, give them the opportunity to buy a bit more, and then give them the opportunity to subscribe. I like sort of being quite gentle with the customer and not sort of, you know, I've seen some products which are subscription only, which I think is quite a big ask for some products, and especially for us where miso is still quite new.
Yeah, it's a big leap to take that jump from I'm giving you nothing, I've heard nothing of your brand, and now I'm committing to £20 a month or something.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's a big ask, isn't it? I think we like to build loyalty this way, quite sort of gently, and give them the opportunity to go at the pace that's comfortable for them.
I could not agree with you more. I think that's a brilliant way to be doing it. So what is, looking forwards, what's on your radar, your to-do list right now?
Gosh. I'm constantly busy, so I'm trying to think what's the top of the list at the moment. I think what's been really encouraging for us through the online business is that it tells us that there is an international audience for our product. We do get orders from all over, and in certain countries, US, around Europe, the demand is increasing. So I think from the retail point of view, we're really looking to get into new territories. And the online business has sort of given us clues as to where to go fast. So that's been really helpful. Also new products. We're developing, we're always looking at new product ideas. And again, we use our online platform to test ideas. So unlike a supermarket retailer where we don't know who the customer is who buys our product, online we have, you know, all their information. And for those who buy regularly, we often contact them and say, look, we're trying out a new product. We don't know whether we'll launch or not. We'd love to get some feedback from you. And we send them complimentary products to try. Our regular customers and ask them for their feedback, and using that feedback it informs where we should go with our new product development. So growing the business internationally as well as developing new products, they're the sort of exciting things on the radar at the moment.
That's a great way to leverage your customer base for the R&D, you know, the research development side of things, because
definitely, yeah,
you know, to be able to turn around to Sainsbury's or any of the other, you know, supermarkets you're dealing with and go, right, we know, you know, this one sells really well for you guys. Well, we've created this new product that's selling really well to the same people who bought this one. So, you know, you can go to them not with, we've got a new product, we think it's awesome. You're going in there with it, we've got a new product and we know it works.
Yeah.
Just so much more powerful to get
Absolutely.
That shelf space.
Yeah.
So there's a few bits and pieces about your business I would love for us to have a little bit of a discussion around. Is that okay with you if we dive into them?
Yeah, of course. Go for it, yeah.
So you have on your site, the first thing someone will see when they get there is that newsletter pop-up, which I know for a lot of, or interstitial, or, you know, whatever anyone wants, welcome page, or, you know, I know lots of people have different names for it.
Yeah.
Lots of businesses I come across are nervous about putting one of those live on the site. They think it will turn people off. So what was your thought process towards putting it up there and, you know, and deciding to put an offer on there too?
I think we started, I think we put that on there in the last 6 months. So we didn't have that from the beginning. And the reason why we went for that is because we wanted to, again, take some of the fear out of buying that first box. And ideally we want that first purchase to be a box of eight rather than, you know, the taste pack. Obviously we, for the people who buy the taster pack, they can also use the 10% off. So it just, again, it was another way to take the fear out of it. And also we wanted people to be on our newsletter. And since putting that pop-up on there, so the pop-up is basically sign up to our newsletter and get 10% off your first order. So we wanted to increase our newsletter subscribers and increase customers who are new to us. So it was kind of dual purpose, really, and it's worked really well. We get probably a quarter of our online sales every month with usage of that 10% code. So we know that for some customers, it allowed us to get that first purchase from them, and hopefully after that, then they get hooked on Miso and they continue to read our newsletters. So it's great. It's a great first way to for us anyway to get them to get them into Miso Tasty.
So
it's worked really well. We've not had any sort of not directly. We were aware that it might sort of put some people off, especially regular customers who might, you know, who it's not it's not eligible for them anymore. So we were nervous that we might put some people off, but the results showed that it's worth doing.
Cool. So anyone who's thinking about it, you would recommend that they at least test it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Even, you know, just test it for a month, see if it affects your sales. And for us, it's improved our sales. So, and it's increased our newsletter subscribers. Proportionately, it's odd. We thought that maybe every newsletter subscriber would use the code to buy for the first time. But actually, we get a lot more newsletter subscribers than we do people using the code. So maybe they sign up to the newsletter and save the code for later or something. So actually, it's not. So it's not an expensive one to fund. Oh, you get more newsletter subscribers this way. Yeah.
So Bonnie, you're pretty awesome at the whole PR social media thing. So how much of that do you guys do in-house yourselves? How much of it do you outsource?
It's a mix, actually. We do have some PR help. We have a small agency helping us, certainly to get in contact with the right magazines, the right press that we don't have contacts with. But we do quite a bit for ourselves in terms of collaborations with other brands, especially through social media. We do all of the sort of the social side ourselves, and then where we want to sort of seed products to certain magazines or newspapers, that's when our PR agency helps us.
Okay, cool. What tips would you have for anyone who's wanting to make more of the kind of PR piece and the social media piece?
I think you have to do it quite naturally. So I find collaborations a great way to get good PR, especially when you're a small business and you're collaborating with, say, a bigger brand. That works really well because you can sort of piggyback off their audience.
So what are the collaborations you've done you could do just so people understand what you're talking about through an illustration? Is that possible?
Yeah. So for example, we've done sort of collaborations with other sort of health food products or that they can enjoy with our miso soup. Or you can collaborate with, we're in East London, Hackney, and we collaborate with other sort of businesses in this area. Just so there's a theme to sort of a story about how your products relate to each other, rather than it always being like a straight plug for your own products.
Awesome. That's really, really useful. So I think it's time for us to dive into the top tips round now. And great. I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Bonnie, you ready for these quick fire top tips?
Yeah, go for it.
Cool. So first up then, your book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, what book would you recommend?
I'm reading a really good book at the moment. It's called The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. It's really great for startup entrepreneurs because it really gives you tips on how to sort of bounce back when things go wrong, which is quite often. So it's a real, it's kind of a real sort of positive business book that sort of makes you think your way around problems and try and find the positive in every situation. So I'm finding it really really motivating at the moment.
Cool, that definitely sounds like a good one to check out. We all need help to bounce back from those setbacks.
Definitely.
So your traffic top tip, which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves? What is your number one traffic generation tip?
Well, I think some people have been saying not such nice things about sending out newsletters. I think because a lot of people have subscribed to so many that it feels a bit spammy when you're getting lots of newsletters through, personally. So I think for us, newsletters still really work. I mean, those that sort of, read and reply and get involved in competitions and offers that we put on our newsletter, still really drives traffic for us. So I'm not sure. I think maybe because we don't send them out too often, we only send them out sort of once a month, and they're usually sort of jam packed full of different offers that are exclusive to newsletter subscribers. Our newsletters really help with our traffic and our sales whenever we send one out.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And next up, then, your tool top tip, maybe a team collaboration tool, a social media plugin, timesheeting tool, phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little thing you use that makes you and your team more efficient day to day?
We use Hootsuite in the office, which is really great for us to be able to schedule all our social media posts so that we're not sort of having to monitor that all the time. It's a great way for us to plan in advance as well, and keeps us organized.
I'm a big Hootsuite fan too. It's such a useful app, isn't it? Just gets so you don't have to do it all the time.
Exactly. Yeah, otherwise you can just get really distracted throughout the day.
And then the next one is your startup top tip. If you met someone this weekend who is thinking of starting an e-commerce business, what would be your first tip for them?
I guess the most important thing to focus on immediately would be to make sure that the that they've got their sort of delivery process really tested and smooth, making sure that it's really smooth for the customer. So for instance, when we started, so the orders came through and we had, you know, a specially designed box that would go for the letterbox and everything, but all those other things like postage and how do we make sure that it definitely arrived, and that whole process needs testing before you launch. Like send a packet to yourself and see what it looks like when it arrives, making sure that, you know, everything looks good on when the customer receives your product. So I'd say if you're launching an e-commerce business, get that tested, making sure that you've paid the right amount for delivery and all those things that you think, oh, it'll be fine.
Cool. Masterplan World, you can find the top tips and links to everything else we've been chatting about in today's episode by going to ecommercemasterplan.com/miso tasty, which is M-I-S-O tasty. I've got one final top tips question, which is, if your business didn't exist, which e-commerce business would you like to be running?
Gosh, I'd love to. I love Grays. I love Nespresso. All the sort of, probably, I just love all food sort of e-commerce businesses where people are enjoying sort of quite specialist or selected products that can be delivered at home, delivered at the office. So probably something quite similar to our business, but to a different range of products. Because I'm a big foodie, so I love trying new things. So probably one of those.
Excellent. So before we say goodbye, would you like to remind listeners where they can find you and your business on the web and social media?
Yeah. So on the web, it's misotasty.com, misotasty.com. Social media, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the usual ones.
Thanks, Bonnie. I'll add links to all of that and everything else we've talked about today in the show notes. Masterplan World, again, you can find those at ecommercemasterplan.com/misotasty, or just go to the website, click on the podcast tab, or use the search box. Bonnie, what a fascinating chat. It's been an absolute pleasure to spend time with you this morning, discovering how you're driving your online-only e-commerce business.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Catch you all next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com.